You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And those of you joining us for the very first time, a special welcome to you. I'm delighted you're here. And let me tell you, if it is your first time to be with us here at The Kevin Smith Show, you need to go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click on that big red link you'll see that says K-Files E-Zine, and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It truly is free, and there are no strings attached. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to, so there's really no reason not to do it, all right? And then you'll be in good company with thousands of others who are in the know, and you will not be left out of the loop of information then, all right? It is... on this side of the planet, where I'm seated, it is Wednesday. That's the middle of the work week. That means it's a downhill glide now, a downslope glide into the weekend. And so you ought to be getting a little happier as we go. Most people do get the weekend off. I never have. But I do understand that a lot of people do get the weekend off and love it. So it ought to make you a little happier each day as we head into the weekend. This is going to be an open line live night tonight. I've got some topics that I brought to the table, and I hope you'll bring some topics as well. And we'll talk about whatever is on your mind when we open up the phone lines here in just a few minutes. Open Line Live is kind of a free-for-all. It really is. It's kind of like talk show jukebox. If you don't like the topic being discussed, you just push the right numbers on that little device called a telephone, and you call into the studio and tell us what you want to talk about, and we're off and running. Or as they say down in Louisiana, where I used to live, you're off the porch and running with the big dogs then. And I certainly hope you'll do that. Some of you have never called before, and you really should. Why haven't you? Have you examined that? Have you been to hypnotherapy to discover the real hidden reasons why you are terrified to call and talk with me? I don't bite, you know. Well, I do, but I promise not to hurt. No, I don't bite. And we're always delighted to have new listeners, our first-time callers. So if you've never called in before, I'm going to give you a telephone number to use. It's if you have never called us, I want you to use this telephone number. The telephone number is 1-800-318-1008. All right, that's the number to use. If you're not a first-time caller, use our regular number, which is 1-800-289-1092, and we will be happy to take your calls and talk about the things that are on your mind. We're going to get into the thick of things here in just a moment on the other side of this break, so don't go away. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Lost in a daydream, I'm so far away. Wistful and wondering, I drift through the day. A world just for you and me. But I got to make this dream come true. Make a wish and say a prayer. I close my eyes at night and see you there. Wish that I could share my life with you.
You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can, right here at Steel Eye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, this is Open Line Live tonight, and the line is already lighting up. I'm going to go ahead and do that, and then I'll go to the telephone, and then as time permits, I'll bring some of the topics to the table that I brought to the table or brought to the show tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was wondering, when you've taken a look at all the Mars images, I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit nervous here.
That's all right. Just pretend you're talking to your best friend on the phone, because it's just a phone.
Yeah. When you've taken a look at Mars and the pictures and photos from Mars that NASA have taken and others, I was just wondering which ones have you seen?
Oh well, I've seen I would say hundreds of them, as a matter of fact, I was looking at some YouTube videos just before the show.
Yeah, was that an email that you got from a listener? That was me.
Yeah, that was one of them that I looked at, and then I looked at some more. Some of them I've seen before, and some of them I had not seen before. I'll tell you something, Ryan. I don't know how anybody can look at those photographs and walk away and say there's nothing there. There is a video that, of course, this is not new, the trees on Mars, the forest. There's a video on YouTube, we'll put a link to it in the K-Files E-Zine this week, that shows a color image of that, and then also compares that to an aerial photograph of a pine forest on Earth. Looks exactly the same.
Have you seen the image of what appears to be a T-shaped object?
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure everybody's already seen it and everything else, but I just couldn't believe it when I saw that. I've never really, I've been kind of a skeptic on the whole Mars issue. So I saw that, and then I saw the second face on Mars. There was a press release that happened, I think it was March in 2001, with the former chief, I don't know what his position was, but he was with the Naval Observatory, and they had a press release in March of 2001, and I think it got buried right after 9/11, and they must have taken it offline or something. But anyway, I sent you an email with that link on there, and I just couldn't believe what I was looking at. And there was a, but anyway,
the T-shaped object is. Has been brought to people's attention by Dr. Tom Van Flandern, and I've had him as a guest on the show just within the past 6 months or so. He's been with us.
Okay. I guess I'm behind the curve on this, but...
Well, we didn't talk about the... As far as I can remember, we did not talk about that photograph, but it is a rather amazing photograph, and there are photographs of things on Mars that... If you show that photograph to somebody, in fact, show it to a pilot and don't tell him it's Mars.
Right.
Make it a black and white photograph. Show it to a pilot who's used to looking at things from the air. Don't tell him it's Mars. Just say, what is that?
Well,
they'll start describing, you know, I had one of them that a commercial airline pilot friend of mine, I did that with a photograph from Titan. You know, one of the moons of Saturn. He said, well, I can't tell what all of this is, but he said, now that right there is an airstrip. There's the tower. And that was from Titan.
That T-shaped object, I'm talking when they had this press briefing with all the, this was in March of 2001, and they had all the press people there. They had cameras. I don't know if I can say the site that this is linked up to, but
That's all right. I don't care.
It's UFO TV, and it's, I think it's right after 2001, but anyway, there's a video on there, of, and this guy is the chief technician for the Naval Observatory, and he says, and he's announcing all these findings, and he even explains how they duped the original Mars face on Mars, how they blurted out to the public, even explained exactly how they did that. It was just it's an amazing, amazing video. I sent you an email, but
yeah, it is indeed. Ryan, I want to thank you for the call. What's the weather like in Washington State tonight?
It's pouring down rain tonight. Yeah,
that's about as normal, usual. Though, isn't it?
It actually hasn't been too bad lately, but it's back to the usual tonight.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-289-1092 is the number, and it's open line. So we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And, you know, Mars is a fascinating subject. It has been a fascinating planet and a fascinating subject for centuries. For centuries, people have been writing about Mars, and since the invention of telescopes, they've been gazing at it, and since the invention of satellites with high-resolution cameras, we've been seeing what's there. I've been asked a lot of times if I think there is life on Mars now, and the answer to that is I don't know, but what do I speculate? Yes, I think there probably is life on Mars now. And I base that upon some scientific findings by the European Space Agency, as well as some photographs. Now, do I think that there is an intelligent civilization on Mars? No, I don't. Now, I know a lot of people do. There are people who believe, and I stress the word believe, they have faith that there is. I don't think there is, but there could be. I don't know for sure. There could be. I think there is life. I think there is probably some plant life in a few scattered locations. There seems to be incontrovertible evidence of flowing water on Mars, and where there is water, one would expect that there would also be some kind of life. And so I think there's some plant life and maybe some animal life. But I have not seen anything that makes me think there is currently intelligent being. That there is currently a civilization of intelligent beings there. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Dave. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Hello, Dave from North Carolina. Have you called in before?
Yes, I have.
All right. We're glad you called in again. What's on your mind?
I'm glad to talk to you, Kevin. You said this is open line and we can talk whatever we want to talk about, right?
Well, as long as it's not politics.
No politics. Do you watch Lost?
No, I have to confess to you, I do not watch television very often.
Oh, God. Okay.
But that's all right. Go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say, it's one of these shows that the genre is, like, wide open. It's like it captures so many genres, like sci-fi, people on people, that kind of thing. And I'm sure you've heard of it and everything.
Oh, yes. I've heard of it. I know it's extremely popular. But let me tell you, I work anywhere from 14 to 20 hours every day.
I know.
So I really don't get much television time.
I know. So, you know what I did? The same thing. It was the same thing. So, because I heard people talking about it, and I heard them talking about smoke monsters and all this kind of weird stuff, and I was like, you know, this sounds like kind of dumb, you know, kind of thing. But what I did was ABC.com, they have, you can go online and you can watch the episodes.
Yeah.
And I started watching them, and I got caught up, and I was, like, just so enraptured in them. It's like a sci-fi kind of everyday normal kind of thing going on, and I was wondering if the other listeners of the Kevin Smith Show, which I'm sure they are, because it's such a neat show and everything, and it touches on paranormal, relationships with people, stuff like that, that kind of thing. It's probably, I would venture to guess that the vast majority of people that listen to the Kevin Smith Show probably watch the show.
Yeah, probably watch Lost. Yeah, I would say that's probably true.
So if I would recommend to you, if you get a chance, go online and check them out, because you will definitely get addicted. I guarantee it.
I'll tell you what. I'll make you a promise. I will try to spread some time to do that this week. But honestly, I have anywhere from 100 to 500 emails a day. I don't. Have you ever emailed me?
I totally understand. I know.
Yeah, if you email me, chances are you will get a reply. I can't reply to every one of them every day, but I do try.
I can say to you right now, I've always gotten a reply from you whenever I've sent you an email. So, and you're one of the only radio shows, which very few that I listen to, that whenever I send you a message, I always get a reply, and I really appreciate that.
Well, you're certainly welcome. I try.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Yeah, it is open line, and as long as we're not talking about, long as you're not talking about politics, we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. I get email every day where people are trying to get me to comment on this or that in the political realm because of my background as an international police officer. First of all, I have to tell you that international police officers are not allowed to have a political opinion in public. Now, I'm no longer an international police officer, but I lived a lot of years that way, and I still have no public opinion about politics. Secondly, I'm just not interested. I really am not interested in talking about politics. I like to talk about the stuff that's a whole lot more important, that has to do with who we are, how we got here, where we're headed. And so that's what we do. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hey, Trey. How are you doing?
Fine. First, I wanted to say I haven't had a chance to call on an open line. About a week and a half ago, I was out of town, and I wasn't able to listen to the show. My dad called me and told me that Michelle had passed away, and I was wanted to say, sorry I was here to hear that, and he was a part of the show, and I know he, and along with a lot of other people, do research for you, and that's probably, you've probably used several of Michelle's or people like Michelle's suggestions for guests on the show.
All the time. Since you brought that up, let me just interrupt you for a moment and say to all the audience, if you know of a guest that you think is just, the cat's meow and we really ought to have that person on, send me an email.
Yeah.
Because I do, if you send me an email, I go check them out on the web, and if it looks like something that fits our show, then I invite them. Now, they don't always accept, but I do invite them.
Yeah, and what was you talking about earlier? You're talking about a picture. The last caller, talking about a photo.
Yeah, we were talking about pictures from Mars.
Okay, some more pictures. Okay, I didn't know if there had been any new ones out or not about that have come out that I didn't know about, because I'd seen. Now, one thing, I know you said you didn't get to watch TV a lot, and so with YouTube, though, maybe there's a chance that some of these shows that normally you don't have the chance to watch, maybe you can watch it. And one I would suggest to check out, the History Channel, which used to have UFO Files on there, and that was the one where they actually had an episode on there with with Daryl Sims, and it had the name of the episode of the UFO Files was called UFO Hunter, and this is the one that showed Dr. Lear actually removing an implant. But there's a new show on History Channel, which is taking its place, called UFO Hunters. And this is people that go out and do investigations and do field report. And you might recognize a couple of guys on there, maybe not. But Dr. Lear, about 3 weeks ago, they showed another, I believe his 12th surgery, at least at the time of this videotape. And the surgery showed him taking out another implant live on the History Channel. This is the second time this has happened.
They took that out of the guy's leg, right?
I couldn't tell you exactly where he took this guy's out, but this is the one that just happened. And the guy, actually, he had been losing weight for years. And he finally went and got himself checked out, and it turns out he had metal poisoning or something like that. And so he wound up checking himself for metal, and they found an object. And he wound up, and he just found out about this recently. So from the time that he found out about this, from the time that Dr. Lear took out this implant, was not a very long period of time.
Yeah, we've had that guy that had the implant on this show. His name is Jeff Harvey.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been on the show, and in fact, he was on the show before that TV show aired. He told us it was coming.
So you haven't talked to him since that surgery. If he do, ask
oh yeah,
him,
I have. I talk to him almost every day.
Has he gained weight back yet?
He's feeling fine, and I think he has gained some weight back. Yeah.
Good, because the picture that they showed in the show, you could tell he was not a skinny fella, and from going from where he was then to where he was in the video, which was pretty thin, it looked like something happened to him. Something was wrong with him, definitely. But anyway, I want to suggest that because I know you don't have time to watch a lot of TV. I understand that. And one more thing I want to mention about something I mentioned last night, because the guy who had the book, the 2012 book, the thing I was mentioning to you was, I was trying to mention to you was the 2112 song by Rush. This is it's got a picture, and the picture of the cover is it's a deep space, and it's got the Milky Way, and it's got the Earth, and it's got something else. It looks like possibly a red dwarf. So I think that they're showing this is supposed to be Planet X, but the whole story is this is like a prophecy after 2012. And I was the question I was wanting to know is if you have ever heard, your guest said he never heard, of any other prophecy after 2012, say in 2112, or story of elders that left our planet. And what this is basically a song saying, in 2012, we lose control of this planet. For 100 years, this planet is run by whoever, fill in the blank. But then, in 2112, elders who left this planet long ago come back to reclaim the planet. And so that's what that song's about. And I thought it was be something that you might be interested in. Like, well, this is something from the 1970s. And this is
as a matter of fact, I have heard of prophecies. Yeah.
That's what that prophecy is, and it's a song about it from the 70s.
Did you know that's right straight from the book of Revelation?
That's one more question for you is, I'm not sure if it was your show, I heard somebody mention the fact that in the Bible, that it says that we're going to be tricked into fighting against God when God comes back.
Some will.
Well, and that's what the whole Antichrist thing is. And the only way that could be is if we're convinced that there's an alien threat coming and we all need to join together to fight this alien threat, but it turns out the alien threat's really God. That's the only way I can see us ever fighting against God. So, I don't know. That's just my two cents. But
well, I'm not a religious person, right?
Yeah. Well,
all right.
You know the Bible's real, though, so, We know we've messed it up, but that it's not totally made up because something was going on.
Well, it says what it says, whether, some people... Hey, let me ask you, we have a break just now taking over. Can you hang on through the break? Are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yeah, no problem, Kevin.
Yeah, if you'll hang on through the break, we'll get into that. All right, folks, we'll be back on the other side of this break, and I guess we're going to wade off into that. That'll be interesting. Welcome back. We are in Open Line Live tonight, and that means we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. We've got Trey from Atlanta on hold, I hope. Are you still with us, Trey?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, every time I bring something like this up, I know I'm going to get a deluge of email the next day, and that's okay. I want people to know that that's okay. It's okay to disagree with Kevin Smith on The Kevin Smith Show. But I know that will happen. And that is because anytime you mention the Bible, people get very, very sensitive about it, almost the same as Muslims with the Quran. They get hostile about it. If you say something that doesn't agree with their views, they get hostile. But it is inevitable that I will say something that somebody will disagree with. Now, first of all, the very first thing that I'm going to say that people will disagree with, some will, is that God, however you define God, in whatever religion you happen to be, God is extraterrestrial. Because there's not a religion on this planet that teaches that God is from here. Every religion on the planet teaches that God, however they define God, in some way, by some means or methods, created Earth and created life on Earth. Now, in the Christian religion, in the Jewish religion, and in the Muslim religion, God is a singular being. In other religions, there are many gods, but there is always a boss god. Nevertheless, the gods were not from here. They created here. So even in the Christian religion, you just need to ask one question. Is God from Earth? If God is not from Earth, then God is extraterrestrial. That's what it means. It means he's an off-planet, off-worlder. He's not from this planet. All right, now having said that, I'm not aware of anything in the book of Revelation that refers to 2012. However, the sequence of events that you described is described in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
And that is that humans do lose control of the planet. There is a point in the book of Revelation at which this being that the Bible calls Satan, pardon me, is released from his prison, which is described as the abyss or the bottomless pit. And he's released to roam the earth again for a short period of time. Then after that, he's chained up and cast forever into the abyss. And you have this ensuing reign of God.
Wow.
At the end, folks, you just have to pardon me. I'm sitting in Arizona. Stuff is blowing in here from California. Pollen. And my allergies are tough. But anyway, he's chained up and thrown into the abyss forever. And then there is this sort of judgment day, as it's described by Christians and Jews, in which God takes all the people whose names are written in this book of life, and by some means or another, they are transported away from earth. Now, we're not talking about, at this point, what the Christians refer to as the rapture. We're talking about after that. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but we will be taken to a new heaven and a new earth. Now, that means that there's going to be, I mean, this is actually in the Bible, there's going to be a mass transport off planet to somewhere else in the universe. So that when you look out at the heavens, you won't be seeing what you see here. You'll be seeing something else. The constellations will not be the same. It will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, that's in Revelation. What interests me, Trey, and this really interests me sociologically, there are people listening to this show right now who are willing to swallow hook, line, and sinker everything in the Sumerian text, and who reject anything that's in the Bible that talks about the same thing. The fact is that you have many ancient texts, the Bible is one of them, that seem all to tell pretty much the same story, but with little different names, different theological twists on it, but pretty much the same story.
Yeah. Yeah, my father, Joseph, my father read a book, several books by a guy named Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell learned all the languages to all the religions. And he read all the books, and he lined them up and said, you know, this religion says this, while this religion says this. And you can clearly see that something was going on planet-wide at the same time, you would assume, unless they did it separately for each continent. But it was planet-wide because they're all talking about the same event. But you were talking about the anger that people get, and really there's no reason to be angry. I mean, if you actually find out that you're wrong about something, but you know that God's real, okay, we'll find out. You find out, okay, the Bible's real, but we've screwed it up, taken things out of it, gotten word meanings wrong, and in the process we have the story wrong. But God's real, and to me it would be good to find that out, and I wouldn't be mad to find out some things, to learn more about God. And it all doesn't make sense because, you know, whenever you hear someone say, well, yeah, but they took the books out because it was too long. I mean, this is the Bible. If you're really a good Christian, you want the book to go on forever. I mean, you never want the Bible to end. You don't want to take books out of it, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you read my book?
God in the Garden, yeah. Mm-hmm. And until then, Kevin, I did not know that for sure that there were more than whatever these beings or entities are that we called gods at the time, that there were more than one. And it makes sense because why would you have a commandment saying, take no other god before me, unless there were other beings that we called gods at the time,
mm-hmm.
and hence the word Lord God, meaning boss god. So that's the one thing I got out of your book, Gods in the Garden, was learning that we were wrong about the singular God deal. But if we find out we're related to the Lord God or the boss God, what's bad about that? What changes anything? If I'm a Christian, what changes anything there?
You see, one of the, and if you've read the book, you know that it is focused on no theology at all. What do those words say? You know, Genesis is written with words. Words have definitions. What do those words say? Now, the interesting thing that people seem most hostile about, and let me say, it's not most people, it's some people. But the thing that some people seem to be most hostile about is the claim in Genesis. I didn't make it up, it's there. That when Adam and Eve left the garden, they were no longer humans. Adam and Eve left the garden according to Genesis, if you believe Genesis, and I'm not saying you should, but if you do, it very clearly states, the Lord God said, now they have become one of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, Kevin, I'll hang up and let some other people call in. But the thing is about that, you know, you really don't have to have it word for word. To find out that we've got some parts wrong doesn't mean that, you know, that God doesn't exist. And does it really matter what God looks like? And one other thing I want to leave you with is something I was wondering the other night, is whenever it says we were created in God's image, well, what if God, that means DNA-wise, what if that means that God gave us some of God's DNA, and that's what it means, created in God's image. Not that we're going to physically look like God, but what's more important to God in creation? To God, it would be genetic science, DNA. That would be more important than what we visually look like in the total outcome of the deal. So, maybe that's what they mean is created in his own image, was just scientifically, genetically.
Could be.
All right, thanks for letting me call, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, that gets to be kind of a sticky subject when we start to talk about the Bible, because I don't talk about it from a theological point of view. I talk about it from the point of view of what does it say. And people hear from people that are very, very religious, hear it from a theological point of view rather than just what does that say. They hear it from the standpoint of, well, you know, What does that mean? And that what does it mean? Well, that's up to theologians. What does it say? That's the important thing. We have to take a break. That's what I have to say. And when we come back, we'll continue with Open Line Live here at the Kevin Smith Show, 1-800-289-1092. Or if you happen to be a first-time caller, give me a call at 1-800-318-1008. Both numbers are toll-free throughout North America. Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. And we are back. We've got the telephone lines are loaded up right now. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don. We haven't heard from you in a while.
I've been listening, but I haven't been calling in. It's getting tougher and tougher to get reach you. It's a busy line every time.
It is a busy line.
You're a popular guy. Anyways, I wanted to comment on several things here. First of all, that episode Lost,
Yeah.
The show Lost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is one great show. I heard that it's the best drama since Gunsmoke, which was the number one drama for years. And if you ever watch The X-Files, you know how... I know you watch The X-Files.
I used to. I no longer have time to watch anything.
Yeah, I realize that, but I know you used to watch The X-Files. And at the end of the season where they would have the season finale, and they would leave you hanging until the next season started, you know,
right.
Cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how Lost is, every episode, though. Every episode's a cliffhanger.
I'll have to check it out. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. And another comment I wanted to make, I've been meaning to bring up, because I've heard you mention a number of times where you believe if we were given the availability of free alien energy, or even whatever energy, well, you know, been kept from us that's free, that we would see economic collapse. I believe that is what you said.
What I said is if they did it suddenly.
Yeah, but see, I don't see that, because what I think would happen is the people who the energy would be given to, the common man, would free up so much money for us that we would be putting that money back into the economy. The only ones that would hurt, and the ones that's keeping us the free energy from us, is the elites, these wealthy oilists, industrialists, the people who control this.
Yeah, but if you take a look at who's investing in oil companies, you've got banks, insurance companies, real estate, large, huge real estate corporations. I mean, you would affect, if they collapsed, you would affect the entire economy by collapsing oil companies. So I think, yes, if it happened suddenly, it would be a collapse.
Okay, I'll agree with you there. Yeah, from a Wall Street perspective, where it was, literally shattered that, which is a good chunk of change on Wall Street, no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah. Now, if they phase it in so that the oil companies can get into that business, supplying appliances and technologies and things that can use that new energy. As they get into that and ramp up, no problem.
Well, not only that, if you need to left the oil companies out of, because, their power has controlled this country and the world, basically. But if you left them out of it, even, given time for things to settle down on Wall Street and adjust, and putting the free energy into each one of our hands, where we're not buying it through a utility company, but we have access to that free energy for our cars, to heat our homes, to cool our homes. And what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot more disposable income put back into the economy.
Not if all the corporations we work for go broke and go out of business.
Well,
you see, the problem is that every corporation is invested in other corporations. The ripple effect of collapsing one major oil company, the ripple effect would be devastating. And so I don't see it happening. I think it'll be phased in.
Well, I don't see it happening either. Just for the reason who controls this, who's kept this energy from us.
Yeah.
We know the energy's out there, just like, I think, who was it you had on who talked about these batteries are now in, some of them are in a museum in Japan that's, draws energy from it.
Yeah, that's, that was John Hutchison.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the things we've heard about. So we know the free, clean energy, renewable energy is out there.
Yeah.
It's just that these things have been kept from us.
And they're going to be until they find a way to phase them in gradually so that we don't collapse the economy. It really will collapse the economy overnight unless they phase it in.
Another one of the things I wanted to mention, of course, this is just speculation, and that's all we can do is, I think it was your last caller, Trey, mentioned that, most people perceive as we were created in God's image, so God looks like us, he's physical, but the way I always speculated about that is that we are basically, we're energy, and God is energy. Why is God in all places all the time? Because he's energy in all places all the time. And if he created us in his image, and we're just sparks off that energy. But we are created in his image, the same thing, the same type of energy.
Maybe. You might be right about that. I don't know. But you it's a good point. You might be right. Don, I want to thank you for the call. I got to move along to another caller, but thank you so much.
Take care, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hi, my name's Eric, and I'm from Florida.
Eric from Florida. Let's give you some applause here. All right, first time caller, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. What's happening in Florida tonight?
What's happening in Florida tonight, I don't know, not too much. It's kind of windy out. It's almost getting to be a full moon, and I have this whole bunch of friends who insist that all this craziness happens every month on the full moon, and I kind of think they're a little crazy, but, you know, okay. Everybody has their own opinion.
All right.
What I wanted to ask you about was two things. One, the first was when I graduated from college in the 1970s, I stumbled upon some books by a guy named Emmanuel Velikovsky, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you'd ever talked about the work he did and his findings on your show, because I haven't been a listener for that long.
Well, I have not, but we have had guests who have made reference, yes. We have had guests on the show that have made reference to Velikovsky and have discussed, from their point of view, various things. Yeah. What impresses you about Velikovsky?
Well, I mean, back then, I remember he was the first place that I ever read that there might have been a giant meteor that hit the Earth and pretty basically put lights out and led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. And when he first came, or when he came up with that idea, maybe he wasn't the first person, but he wrote about it. And, you know, he cited all this archaeological evidence. And yeah, everybody made fun of him, as science often does with some new theory that comes out. Everybody goes, yeah, right, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, you can almost mark it down that if establishment science is ridiculing something, some new theory, it's true.
Yeah.
It's got to be true.
Yeah. Well, that was just one of, you know, many different things. And then there was, he wrote about the explosion, I think it was in like 1912 or something like that, up in Siberia.
Yeah, 1908.
You could, 1908? Okay, I couldn't remember the date. But supposedly you could see it and hear it, like, as far away as London and, you know, just various, just, well, they found woolly mammoth quick frozen in Siberia.
Yeah.
You know.
Still had food in its mouth.
Right, and they thawed out the mammoth and cooked the meat for their dogs.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never really knew how much of it to believe and how much of it was just some crazy but great story.
It's true. It's true stuff.
The other thing was I had a question about the Bible, and I was very interested in what you were saying about Genesis, because recently when I went back and reread Genesis, I was impressed by how God always was talking about, whenever God was talking about God, it would always be in the form of plural, would be we.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there was a group of them. And I always thought that was very interesting because, as you say, if you just take it for what the words say, it's very clear that there's not just one God.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. I have recommend, I don't do this often, but since you're interested in that, I recommend that you get a hold of my book called Gods in the Garden. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. We're into a break and we've got to run, but thank you so much. It's good to hear from Florida. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. Let me welcome all of you who are just now tuning in to the Kevin Smith Show in this second hour. It's Open Line Live. And let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin, this is Chip in East Tennessee.
Hello, Chip.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm too blessed to be depressed.
Well, look, you know, I'll tell you, I like that. That's exactly the right attitude to have. You don't get paid more to have a bad day, so why do it?
Absolutely. I just sent you my Michelle MP3 tribute.
Okay.
Audio tribute. I don't know. I just sent it to the host.
All right. It'll get to me.
Okay. I know you won't get to it tonight, but check it out. And send you a little text thing, too. And if you don't want to, if you don't care to play it, just please send it on to the son, please.
I certainly will, and I'll review it either tonight or tomorrow.
Okay, that's very cool. And just want to say hey.
All right, man. I appreciate the call.
And we are in the midst of a horrible storm coming through East Tennessee. Tornado warnings and 60-mile-an-hour winds. And so we're just hanging in here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Grab onto something and hang on. We don't want to lose you.
Absolutely. We got 5 pups here. Well, they're not pups anymore, but yeah, we're hanging in.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. If you're a first-time caller, I have a special number for you tonight. It is 1-800-318-1008. Again, for first-time callers, 1-800-318-1008. And everybody else, 1-800-289-1092. Whatever is on your mind, we will talk about. Now, we started out tonight with a caller who wanted to talk about Mars. And, you know, I said that I think that there is evidence that there is life of some at some level on Mars. I think there is evidence of plant life. I think there is evidence. Now, I'm not just saying I think it's there. I think there is evidence of plant life. I think there is indirect evidence of perhaps some animal life. It may be one-celled animals. It may be microbial. It may be a little more complex than that. And it's indirect evidence, and that is NASA themselves have said that there is on Mars flowing water, and they released the photos of it. Now, there are other people who said it long before NASA, but NASA finally got around to saying it, that there is flowing water on Mars. They have photographs of it. Where there is water, you would expect that there would be some type of living organisms. That doesn't mean that there are living organisms where there's water, but you would expect it. So I think that there is evidence of life on Mars. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls. I finally got through.
Yeah, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. Hey, you were talking about, you and the other caller were talking a lot about God and the Bible and stuff. Good thing JC doesn't call into this show. Boy, he'd be hearing it tonight.
Oh, wow, you know, so what? Everybody's got their own view.
So, do you know who JC is? I don't think you do.
I'm familiar with because of emails that you sent me about JC.
Yeah, but the first time I sent you an email, the first time I ever got in contact with you, yeah. I'm going to have my debate with him one of these days on Coast to Coast, but that's some time to come anyway. But, yeah, I wanted to talk about stuff on Mars. Yeah, I was actually just looking at a website yesterday about evidence of a previous civilization on Mars. They've shown pyramids. They've seen trees on Mars.
Right.
They've seen what looks to be sculptures. I think that statue that made the news last month, I think that was actually a statue.
I think so.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of anomalies on Mars that that pretty much that look obviously artificial, you know, like... Like I've shown the pictures to 15-year-olds, and they said that like you know, even a 15-year-old can tell that it's fake. They said, "Oh, hey, that's a pyramid." I said, "Yeah, no kidding." You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you one of the interesting things, though, that has I saw the article just today. It's been out probably a couple of days. The Hubble Space Telescope has just discovered the presence of methane around a planet that is not in our solar system. And they're really excited about that. This planet is 63 light years away in the constellation Vulpecula. Never heard of it. But that's where it is. And they're really excited about it because it's methane is an organic molecule. And so what the implication is, where there is methane, methane is produced. Usually it's produced by the decay of formerly living organisms.
Yeah. You know what? In one place I think that they should be looking for methane, and that is around Zeta Reticuli. I think that would be a good place to look, too.
Well, how about this? 2 years ago, a scientist for the European Space Agency released information from them that they had discovered methane in the far reaches of the upper atmosphere of Mars.
Yeah, I read that too. I remember that report.
Shortly after that, he released information that they had discovered ammonia, which is also produced by the decay of biological material. Mm-hmm. And so... But now the methane, they kind of explained away, and they said, well, you know, methane can remain in the upper atmosphere for hundreds of years before it breaks down due to the ultraviolet light. So this could be from a volcanic source. Okay, but volcanic sources still get methane from the breakdown of biological material. The volcano is simply the mechanism by which it gets released into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The methane comes from the breakdown of biological material. But the ammonia only lasts 4 to 6 hours under extreme ultraviolet light.
Yeah, I read about that too.
Now, if there is ammonia in the upper atmosphere of Mars, that ammonia is no older than 6 hours old.
That's pretty indicative of something there.
It would seem to be, yeah. Now, that story, you know, it came and it went. And I talked about it on the show a lot back then, but hardly anybody was talking about it. Now, here we are. This is on Yahoo News, and it's a big headline, Methane Detected on a Distant Planet. A big article here, Associated Press writer Alex Dominguez, and it's a good article, and it's reporting on the fact that the Hubble Space Telescope has detected methane around this planet. Big, big deal, because they're looking for the possibility of life on another habitable planet, right?
Yeah,
that's what they're looking for, and that's a big deal. Why aren't they talking about what we already know?
I know, huh?
It's around Mars, so what's the deal?
Well, they've been covering up information like this for years, and maybe this just may be another case of a cover-up. Kev, before I go, I do have one more question to ask you.
Sure.
When's the next time you're going to have a guest that's going to talk about ancient civilizations or lost civilizations here on Earth? Because I've been reading up a lot on the Sphinx and where it comes from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. We work a long time in advance scheduling guests, and we are working to get some guests scheduled that do talk about those things and deal with those things. So it's quite possible we would have one coming up fairly shortly.
Yeah, I'd like to talk with Jason Martell one of these days.
You know, Jason's been on the show a number of times,
mm-hmm.
and he will be again, so it's quite possible that you'll get to do that.
All right. Well, have a good night, Kev. Peace and light to you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. That's the number. It's toll-free throughout North America. Now, if you are a first-time caller, give us a call at 1-800-318-1008. First-time callers, 1-800-318-1008. Everybody else,
the standard number that we always use, 1-800-289-1092. If you're outside of North America, you can send me an email with your question or comment. Send your email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Now, don't wait till, you know, the last few minutes of the show to send it, because then I don't have time to deal with it. Sometimes when you send a flash message from the other side of the world, we get it instantaneously. Sometimes it takes a few minutes to get to us because it gets routed all over the world before it gets here. All right, but if you've got a comment or a question and you're not in North America, then you can send me the flash message and I'll read it on air and we'll talk about it. The reason I went into that and explained that is we got two last night that didn't get here. The flash messages did not arrive here until the last 5 minutes of the show, in which we were talking with the guest about how people can get in touch with him and how they can get his book. And so I didn't have time to deal with those two. So if you've got something to say, let's get it said, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. All right. Don't know what that was about. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. This thing about the methane around Mars and the ammonia around Mars, I bring it up because they're making a big deal out of having found methane around this planet. It's a Jupiter-sized planet, 63 light years from Earth. And right next door, we've got a planet that does have methane in its upper atmosphere. The reason they're making a big deal about it is because it's one of the organic compounds that they look for, one of the organic molecules that they look for when they're looking for a planet that may have life on it. Okay, we've got one right next door. Why are they not talking about that, and why did all of the reports come out immediately after that scientist, he's from Italy, and worked with the European Space Agency. He released the information, and articles started flying, hitting the internet, explaining why that is not a sign of life. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Did you get that email I sent you earlier today?
I did.
That, in my opinion, if it's doctored right, would be free energy.
It might be. Why don't you share with the audience what you're talking about?
All right. A guy in Canada, he developed essentially electromagnetic feedback in a generating system. I don't know exactly what it, how he did it, but what it does is it produces more energy than it needs to run the thing. So it's essentially, he doesn't call it perpetual motion, but that's essentially what it does.
Yeah, the instant you call something perpetual motion, patent offices in virtually every country shut it down.
And that's what they did.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, it could be. You know, there are inventions that come up all the time that get shut down that probably do have a great deal of promise to them.
But he did take it to a professor at MIT. Professor said, I cannot tell you what's happening, but I can't deny the results.
Yeah, there you go.
So, we'll see.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Goodbye.
All right, bye. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller?
Hello, Kevin?
Yes.
I'm a first-time caller.
First time.
From California.
From California. Tom, hang on, man. I got to play some applause for you here. First-time callers get that.
Great.
All right.
Hey, I sent you an email a while back about something I saw on YouTube about the movie Rio Grande with John Wayne and Brian O'Hara from 1950.
About the atomic radiation?
No. It was the actual movie itself has two UFOs in the background in a particular scene. and this was shot in 1950, and you can clearly see two of them flying around in the background on the left-hand side. And you can see it on YouTube if you just, you know, do a search on there. It's pretty compelling. I mean, you know, they have no business being there.
What was made of that at the time, do you know?
I'm sorry?
What was made of it at the time?
I don't know. I just happened to see it, you know, a couple of months ago on YouTube. And then I saw it on TV just, you know, out of synchronicity, and I saw the scene, and it was there. And it's two UFOs. They're white, and they're in the background, and they're just kind of darting around. It's towards the end of the movie, and it's a scene where John Wayne's talking to Maureen O'Hara, and you can see them flying around in the background. And it's shot, you know, on, you know, open, I guess it's Colorado. So check it out if you get the chance.
Well, when you saw it, is it clear enough?
You can see it. You can see two of them. And they're moving erratically, and, you know, this is a Western, and it's strange, very strange. I got one other comment, too.
Sure.
I don't know if I didn't hear anything, but did you happen to make a comment on that photo from Mars about that figure?
You're talking about the thing that looked human-shaped?
It looked like a woman to me.
It did.
A statue of a woman.
Yeah, I would say it looks like a statue.
It looks like a statue of a woman, and it doesn't appear to be as far away or as close as they said it was, but it clearly looks like a woman to me. But anyway, that's it. I'll let your other callers go in.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
A stranger to us. Call us again. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding.
Good, good. Kind of feel bad kind of jumping subjects on here.
That's all right. That's what Open Line is about.
Excellent, excellent. I was kind of curious if you have any thoughts about this CERN's project there in Switzerland coming up this year. What possibilities that might offer?
What project?
The CERN project, that super collider in Switzerland that's supposed to go online this year.
I don't know. I have read about that. I don't know enough about what their intended use is to really make any intelligent comment about it. I think, I have read about certain other super collider projects where they plan to recreate a black hole.
Yeah, is that such a wise thing?
Well, you know, it'll be kind of interesting if they do it and it just sucks the laboratory right out of existence.
Yeah, exactly. You know, anytime we always say, oh, yeah, we got a handle on things and we can contain it and control it, it always seems to kind of blow up in our faces.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that's a wise thing to monkey around with, but is that what they're going to do with that one?
Yeah, pretty much. They're just, I guess there's tons of experiments lined up and... you know, I mean, it could be a good thing, given the certain control of the situation, hopefully. And, you know, it could open up science as we know it to a lot of avenues that were kind of thought of as, you know, as bunk, I guess, to have some kind of probability and truth that actually we could prove some of these things and you know, here on the planet instead of trying to figure out how they work in outer space. So.
Well, it gives rise to a whole new line of thought, not new, but it gives impetus to a line of thought that, you know, what if us, our entire history, the entire universe, as we know it, is really nothing but an experiment in somebody's super collider?
Yeah, exactly. We are the ant farm.
Yeah. Well, okay, it's entirely possible. I don't think it's likely, but could be.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'll let you go here, sir, so other people can get on. And good show tonight, as always, sir.
Thanks for the call.
You have a good one.
All right. Yeah, we're going to have Dr. Michio Okaku with us tomorrow night. Hopefully he has recovered. He was a little bit ill when he returned from Japan, and he was going to be with us on Monday, but was really not able to because he had a very sore throat. And so... we rescheduled for tomorrow night. Hopefully, he'll be able to be with us. And if he is, and I think he will be, we'll ask him, what is the possibility that we are the ant farm?
You know, he's the father of the string theory in quantum physics. So he's got a new book out called The Physics of the Impossible. Absolutely fascinating book. You got to read it. But we'll ask him about the possibility that we are the ant farm. I'm quite interested in this whole thing. And we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. I'm very interested in this whole thing with why are we so excited and why is the scientific community so excited about finding methane around a planet 63 light years away when they seem to be ignoring the fact that they found methane around Mars. Not only that, they found ammonia around Mars, and it can only last about 6 hours in the atmosphere because of the ultraviolet light exposure. Now, that means that any ammonia that has been found in the upper atmosphere of Mars is 6 hours or less in age. Ammonia is one of the molecules that gets produced during biological breakdown. When certain biological materials begin to decay, then ammonia is produced. So is it a sure sign that there's life on Mars? No. Something else could cause it. But is it a sign of the possibility of life on Mars? It most assuredly is. And why is that so quiet? Why did that all go quiet? Don't you find the silence rather deafening? I find, you know, those who listen to this show and who have done so for a long time, you know that I point that out frequently. When something goes silent, when news about something seems to have been swallowed into a black hole and they go quiet about it, it's that void in the reporting that tells more than anything else. It's the void in the reporting. It's the darkness that tells you there's something here. Don't know what it is, but there's something here. Something big, something important. They don't want to talk about it for some reason. Well, the void in the reporting, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, it was all over the internet about methane around Mars, and then they found ammonia in the upper atmosphere, and then silence. It's the silence that's screaming. It's the silence that's yelling for attention. So now we're all excited about a planet 63 light years away that's got methane around it. We're excited about that, as well we should be. It's an important discovery. But it's 63 light years away. Right next door is Mars. And it has methane in the upper atmosphere and ammonia. And both of those are indicators, possible indicators, of life. You couple that with photographs where even NASA has come out publicly and admitted, guess what? We found flowing water on Mars. And they, you know, they got photographs of it. There are other people who have looked at photographs, NASA photographs of Mars, and have pointed out other places where it appears that there is water on the surface. And one of them is named Lake Stedman, and it's named that after the guy who found it in the photograph. Looks like a lake. You can even see the reflection of the cliffs in the water. You see the cliff, then you see the reflection. There's another photograph that shows what looks like a river, and then it widens out into what looks like a lake. and you can see ripples in the water. That's what it looks like, anyway. So the question is, why are we so excited about 63 light years away when right next door we know there's methane and ammonia in the upper atmosphere of Mars? Why aren't we hearing about that? We'll be back right after this. It's Open Line Night, 1-800-289-1092. Toll free throughout North America.
Es mejor no llorar y callar mi dolor. He cerrado mi corazón en un grito ilógico de profundos sentimientos que se enredan en tu piel. Me convertí en roca. No hay brillo en mi sueño. Quiero sufrir, no quiero amar, tengo miedo a sentir, me convertí en roca, no hay brillo en mis sueños. Es mejor no mirar, es mejor ignorar, es mejor no vivir que seguir sin final. Me he negado a sentir la ternura del amor, a las noches estrelladas que me daban tu calor, me convertí en rojo. No quiero llorar, ni quiero sufrir, no quiero amar, tengo miedo a sentir, me convertí en rock.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and before we go to the phone line, very quickly, let me say, for those of you who are new, this is your first time to listen to the Kevin Smith Show, a couple of things. First of all, the way you know that when you call in, the way you know that we answered, we don't use call screeners. So the way you know that you made it is when we push the button to put your call on hold, you start hearing the show in your telephone, all right? So that's how you know. I do not normally announce who the guests are going to be in advance. And I know a lot of you want me to do that. And I would say if you really want me to do that, you're wasting want. I'm not going to. But in this case, I do want you to know that Dr. Michio Kaku will be with us tomorrow night. And then on Friday night, we will have Dr. Michael Sala. And he'll be talking about this whole thing about a secret UN meeting and where he got that information and how confident is he in that information about a meeting the UN allegedly had, or some people in the UN had, regarding UFO disclosure. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. How you doing?
Outstanding. How are you, John?
Oh, well, still kicking. Not quite as high, but I'm still kicking.
Well, that's a good thing.
I hear you. I want to talk to you about the ESA Express. Have you looked at any of those images they sent back?
No, I have not.
Okay. There's one that... it's an actual image from the ESA orbiter, and if you blow up a certain part of it, it looks like an ancient city, or it could be a live city. But now, I'd like to know what's going on, Kevin. Is the ESA putting out fake images there, or what's up with these folks?
I don't think they are. I'll tell you what, and John, you've been listening to the show for a while.
Right.
You have heard me say it is mysterious to me that NASA, supposedly the premier space agency on the planet, and I think they are, but they send up satellites with what they call a high-resolution photo apparatus or a camera, supposedly high resolution, and we get back okay pictures, and then the ESA sends theirs up, and their pictures are so clear it looks like you're standing on the planet. I don't understand that.
They are. I don't understand it either. Well, if any of your listeners want to Google that, you can just type in ESA Hale Crater City or something to that effect, and it'll come up.
I have seen that one.
Uh-huh. But,
I've seen that. And you know what's interesting about that is you can very clearly see it looks like fields that have been outside the city that have been cultivated, and they're in steps. You know, like when you look at the old pictures of old Inca cities, how they had
right,
the stair-stepped
exactly.
fields. Yeah.
Right. Well, at any rate, they're triangles, squares, and roads, and it looks like a city to me. Since it is on the internet, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt. But I just can't see for the life of me why ESA would actually put a fake photograph out there.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
Well, that's not the only thing. You know, when the Spirit Mars rover first landed, one of the first few pictures it sent back, Richard Hoagland has it on his website, it looked like some kind of an assembly or a casting or something. You remember that one?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. This happened on NASA television live at a press conference, and Dr. Squires was commenting. He was showing pictures that had come back and from I forget if it was Spirit or Opportunity, but they had the camera turn around and take a picture behind the rover, and it pointed right down at the ground and right behind the rover, and you're looking at the tracks that the rover is making in the soil, and it looks like mud.
Right.
Said, well, you know, that's got some plasticity to it that we really don't can't explain yet. We'll be taking a good hard look at that and comment on that later. Well, they didn't comment on it later. They never commented on it again at all.
Well, I don't want to take up all your time, but, you know, since we had that sighting, which I think is actually real, I've never seen a UFO. I don't think you have either. But
oh, yeah, I have.
That guy from Stevensville, I believe he was on the up and up. And as far as NASA's concerned, I wish they'd try to be a little more honest with us in their reporting of these photographs. If they don't want us to see them, why don't they just keep them off the net, you know?
Let me say this. I don't think that, well, I get a lot of flack over this. I don't think NASA is essentially dishonest with us. I don't think they lie to us, but I think they're not open and forthcoming.
Well, I think
you follow what I'm saying?
Lying by omission, if you ask me.
Well, I guess you could look at it that way. But for instance, and you've heard me talk about this, John. NASA, if you go to their website and do a search for UFOs, a page pops up that talks about UFOs, and it's on the NASA website. And they say on that page that astronauts have reported anomalous things in space and that NASA has investigated them. And here is a quote, and has deemed them to not be abnormal in the space environment. Okay, now they're not saying that those are not extraterrestrial craft. They're not saying that they're not real. They don't deny their existence. What they said is they have deemed them to not be abnormal in the space environment.
They sure were careful not to say UFO, it seems.
No, on that page they use the word UFO.
Okay.
And but they said they have deemed them not to be abnormal in the space environment. That means what they're saying is those are normal in the space environment.
Yeah. Well,
so they, you know, they use language in a way where some people would say, oh, well, you see, NASA, they've looked into it and there's nothing to it. That isn't what NASA said. What they said is we have deemed them to not be abnormal in the space environment. And another way of saying that same thing is we have deemed them to be normal.
It does sound that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Well, that's about all I had, Kevin. Good show tonight.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number throughout North America. If you're a first-time caller, the number is 1-800-318-1008. Now, the reason, you can call either number if you're a first-time caller, but the reason that I'm giving that number out is to make it a little bit easier for first-time callers to get through, all right? We get a lot of calls at our normal number, and sometimes it's hard to get through. That's true of any talk show where they have a fairly large audience and good audience participation. It's hard to get through. So what we're trying to do with this other number is make it possible for first-time callers to get through a little bit easier. All right, 1-800-318-1008 if you're a first-time caller. Both numbers are toll-free in North America. Now, if you're outside of North America, you can send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. I will read it on the air, and we'll talk about it, all right? One of the things that we don't often think about in terms of paranormal, one of the things we don't often consider is what happens after you have an organ transplant? What do you think? Do you think that affects you if you have an organ transplant?
Some people do think that it affects their personality. Now, the phone lines are lit up, so let me first ask you, caller, are you willing to, first-time caller, are you willing to hang on until we get back from break?
Yes.
All right, you just hang in there, all right? Now, let me go to the other line, and caller, are you willing to hang on until we get through with our break?
Yes, I am.
All right, hang in there. There's a story about a lady who got a liver transplant. I think it was a liver or kidney. She said it changed her entire personality. And as I did a little bit of reading and research on this, I found out that this is not actually rare. Lots of people who have had transplants report that it has changed their personality, or it has changed their taste in books that they read, or music that they listen to. Something to ponder. We'll be back right after this. Let me say to the callers, hang on. We'll get to you right after the break. You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can, right here at Steel Eye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008.
call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and let's go to our first-time caller line. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Terry from Ohio.
Terry from where?
Ohio.
Ohio, Terry. Let's get you some applause here. We're glad to have you on the show. All right. What's on your mind this evening?
I'm interested in... understanding that we just built a infrared telescope in the South Pole, and that also that the Catholics also built a telescope in the mountains somewhere in the United States.
In Arizona.
And so, yeah. And it seems to relate to Nibiru or the coming of that planet. Just wondering your opinion on this situation, what they are doing.
Well, you know, there are people who say it does relate to that. I have not seen anything that definitely nails that down, but certainly there are indicators that it seems that they're very interested in something coming in from the south. So yeah, it could be. It really could be. Yeah, the South Pole Telescope is the largest telescope on the planet, and if Nibiru is coming in from the direction of our South Pole, that telescope is the one that will see it first, and or that could see it first. So yeah, it's pretty intriguing stuff. Yeah, I've been watching that with some interest.
Yeah, and you know, it surprises me that the Catholic Church would be in such interest in the astronomy or whatever they're looking for that they would invest in a telescope themselves and in a religious situation is quite astounding.
Well, you know, not everything that the Catholic Church or any other church does has a direct link to their religion. For instance, every Protestant denomination has its own universities. And in those universities, they teach things that have nothing to do with their religion. They teach history, ancient history, science, and so forth. The Catholic Church is one of the leading scientific institutions on the planet. They are into just about every field of science that you can think of, and that's one of them. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, I appreciate it. Let's go now to our usual telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Yes, Dick, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I got a couple things. On that last caller, he was talking about, you know, the Catholic Church there. I ran that by a friend of mine, and he told me, he said, the Catholic Church is into anything that makes money.
Well, yeah, but, you know, an observatory would not necessarily make money. It would cost money.
Well, yeah, but initially you could rent it out to other people, and that was his point.
Okay.
Like the universities and different things. That was his point on that.
All right.
Okay, on the other point, I got an email from one of my directors today, and he said, you need to go to YouTube and look at this free energy welder. Well, I went and I looked at it. I thought, I've seen that before. And he said, what do you mean you've seen it before? And I said, well, it's like this. 1983, a guy by the name of Dr. Brown invented that particular item. I've got a video on it. And he said he invented the welder so that he could he could smoke and not burn himself up, or blow himself up, basically, because he said he'd used gas welders in the past. And he said that at least this thing would, not burn him up. And he would take the tip of this torch and put it over his hand and different things, and then he would just kind of like the YouTube thing. So that's not a new technology. I seen that in 1983, and like I said, I got a video on it.
You're talking about a welder where as soon as you turn off the flame, you can touch the tip.
No. You can see the flame, and you can put your hand on it, and it won't burn you.
Oh, that's interesting. Send me the link to that. I'd like to see it.
I certainly will, and I'll do better than that. I'll send you the video of this one that I seen in 1983.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm interested in taking a look at that. I don't think I've seen that one.
I think you'll really be surprised by that one.
All right.
And he also said it had usages, you know, that you could run a car off of it. And I told him I'd like to see that one, but he got out of the business before that because he had four attempts on his life. And I said, well, who would want to harm you? And he said, the powers that be don't want that free energy out there.
Yeah, I addressed that. Don called in from Phoenix. You know, there is what would be good for the people in terms of the energy. But then the flip side of that is, what would it do to the people's jobs if they release that suddenly? I'm of the opinion, Dick, that it would create massive economic collapse if they release free energy suddenly. If they release it if they phase it in, not a problem. But if you just release it suddenly, all you have to do is collapse one of those major oil companies, and every bank, insurance company, and corporation that has bought stock in that gets a ripple effect, and the stock market collapses. I think that would happen. And I might be wrong about that, but I think it's certainly a possibility. And so if free energy is ever going to be ours, it's going to be a gradual phase-in. It's not going to be overnight.
Yeah, I think you're right there, but if you haven't watched the stock markets today, we're in free fall now, and it's just a matter of time till we're going down.
Well, I, Dick, you know, I respect your opinion. I hope you're dead wrong.
I hope I am too, but I think this one, I think it's too far out of control.
Well, I hope you're wrong, and I hope that they can bring us back from the brink. But I'm pretty sure that if free energy were to get loose suddenly, there would be a collapse of the economy. And it would not just be our economy. That the ripple effect, if the United States economy collapses, the ripple effect around the world would be devastating worldwide. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I hope you're right, you know. I take your point on this free energy thing. I think it should be, you know, just kind of phased in a little bit at a time, because it's like an overcorrection, like in a car. If you overcorrect, you're going to crash. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. You'll run off the road. Dick, we're at the end of the show, man. I'm going to have to go, but I appreciate that call.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Yep, it's that time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Tomorrow night, I'll be here with Michi Okaku. You be here too, all right? Until then, so long, everybody.